Good evening, Vacaville. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Vacaville Park and Recreation Commission meeting. Today is March 5th, 2025, and the time is 6 p.m. Secretary Valencia Reyes, would you please call the roll?
Here.
Commissioner
Fraser. Here.
Here.
Vasquez. Vice Chair Gutierrez.
Here.
Chair Odds.
Here. Thank you. Would everyone please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so our next item is approval of the agenda. Commissioners, you have the agenda before you. Are there any amendments or any amendments from staff? Great, hearing none. You have a motion to approve the agenda?
All motion.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the February 5th, 2025 regular meeting. Does anyone have any revisions to the minutes? Any corrections? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the May 5th, 2025 meeting?
To approve the minutes.
Great. Second?
I'll second.
Great. So I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the February 5th, 2025 meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that motion carries. Just ticking right along. Next is communications. Staff, have we received any written communications for the commission tonight?
Good evening, commissioners. No, there has not been any written communication since our last meeting.
Great. Moving on to item six, presentations. Director Mulder, would you please introduce item 6A?
Yes, I would be happy to. So what we have here is a presentation on our California Park and Rec Society. So we have received an award from CPRS regarding the City of Vacacon program. So we have a presentation for you regarding this program. Elizabeth and Tiffany will step forward.
Good evening, Chair, Vice Chair, and Commissioner. We are here to present a little bit about our recent notification that we are a recipient of a CPRS Creating Community Award of Excellence. So a little bit about the organization and the award. The California Park and Recreation Society is the largest conglomerate for parks and recreation professionals and parks and recreation departments in California. This award recognizes outstanding initiatives by agencies, departments, or districts in their effort to deliver the highest level of recreation and leisure programs and services that embody and embrace the values and mission of the profession and move the agency towards a stronger position or role within their communities. The application focuses on meeting community needs, innovative approaches, community collaboration, and measurements of success. It is very competitive as many cities throughout the state apply. We were recently the recipient of this, as I mentioned, and we're going to be recognized at the upcoming CPRS conference in Sacramento, March 18th through the 21st. They will be showing the presentation in a video presentation format at the opening session, as well as the best of the best wall in the exhibitor hall and additional promotional materials. So a little bit about the event as a whole. I know most of you have been there. However, our inaugural event was in 2019. It was modeled after San Diego's Comic-Con with approximately 1,000 attendees in its first year. The focus was on supplementing the programming gap for teens and youth and adult or in young adults. In the 5 years since, participation has exponentially increased tenfold, prompting the need for to expand to 2 days. And in 2024, we hosted our first two-day event. The event hosts a cosplay contest, Kids Zone, Exhibitors Hall, Artist Alley, professional cosplayers, celebrity panelists, food trucks, on-site tattooing, and a lot more. In 2024, we had some new additions, including, I always pronounce this wrong, Itasha, I believe, a car show, a sensory room, mini train rides, cosplay performances, exclusive VacaCon after party, a performance cafe, cosplay fandom meetups, interactive webpage, and larger name celebrities. And that was all just within the last year. Our community collaboration has been with cosplay groups, Solano County Public Library, the VPAT Theater, local vendors, sponsors, artists, community service organizations, and small businesses. Commissioners and council members have always helped us with our judging the cosplay contest, so thank you guys that have come out. In addition to that, our volunteers are really vital to the success of this event. Approximately 30 are needed for the event. In exchange for half day of their service, we do allow free entry to the event for the remainder of their day. So now we're gonna give you a little bit of an exclusive preview and some information that has not been released to the public yet. But for VacaCon 2025, it will be on April 12th through the 13th. We do have some special celebrity guests. This is four of the six. We have not finalized contracts for the other two yet. However, we are very excited to announce Jason Mewes. Jason Mewes is very well known in the community or with his films, the Clerks series, Clerks 1, 2, and 3, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, and he is best known as Jay in the Jay and Silent Bob series. Additionally, we have Keith Coogan, who was in the classic Disney movie Fox and the Hound, Adventures in Babysitting, and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. We also have John Morris, who is coming as a special guest from Anchor Tattoo, and he has done a series of Disney movies. He is actually known as Andy in the Toy Story series. In addition to that, he was also the Santa Boy in The Nightmare Before Christmas. And last but not least, as far as those that we can reveal tonight, is Jessica DeCiccio. And she is a voice actress who has been in a number of animated series. She's been in Adventure Time, Gravity Falls, basically anything and everything. She was in Elemental. She was the mom in Super Mario Brothers, the movie. And so she has a list longer than we can name here tonight with what she has presented in. So that's a little bit about the celebs. Obviously, we're really excited. It's gonna be a two-day event again this year, and we're hoping that we'll see some of you out there.
Fantastic.
Are there any questions?
Any questions? Commissioner Shea.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to take all the boys. I can't wait to meet Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. How do you guys decide? Like, do you just start Googling when you're looking who to bring in as a celebrity guest? Is there kind of, you know, like a hot sheet for something like that for cons?
Yes, yeah. It's kind of this whole formula that we really kind of put together as far as we obviously ask con goers kind of what some of their interest would be as far as special guests. We look into, kind of who's kind of on that con scene. So we know that they are already open and willing to attend cons. And then we kind of just kind of reach out as far as, reaching out to their agents and kind of determining, if they're available, if, they're within our price range, and, what their interest level is to attend the con.
Awesome. I will also add that we really try and make sure that we have a nice wide range of folks, too. So it's not just all voice actors or all folks who've maybe been in some older films that our younger teens and tweens might not recognize. We want to make sure that we're kind of appealing to a wide range of genres and generations.
Might feel a little targeted by that older generation.
Right there.
I recognize many of those movies that you mentioned on there.
So we have a budget for the special guests, but if we increase that budget, we could get more and bigger special guests, I'm guessing.
Correct, yes.
And that could bring more attendance and make it a bigger event. So that's probably one of the ways that you would say you grow that event?
Absolutely.
Do we have capacity to grow that event?
To an extent. Yeah. We are slightly outgrowing the ULATIS campus right now, especially with the renovations that are happening with the library. We're going to be a little limited with space this year. However, we can absolutely grow the event, whether that means 3 days or whether that means longer hours or, you know, I mean, there's variations of alterations that we can make for the event.
And the genesis was the San Diego VacaCon, or what was it just... Who came up with the idea? What was the genesis to?
I'm just curious. I will actually allow Elizabeth to answer that, as she was the originator of this.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Like the grandma of VacaCon. So the initial effort to create VacaCon came from an idea that staff had, looking at a bigger event like Comic-Con in San Diego, and figuring out how to put one at the local level. What we were finding and what people who live in Vacaville were struggling with is there was nothing in this area of that nature. So people had to travel to either Sacramento or, which Sac Anime is a really huge one that's held several times a year downtown at the Sacramento Convention Center, or to the Bay Area. And so we wanted to create something that was unique to Vacaville and in our own backyard, so folks didn't have to constantly be on the road. And traditionally, there's been more of a season for con events, and it's usually the beginning of the year, and when you're doing research, you'll find that there's kind of back-to-back weekends. Now I would say, you know, fast forward 5 or 6, 7, 8 years later, they're held year-round, so they've become very popular. But essentially what we did was I brought in several people who were knowledgeable in the elements of the con world that I was not knowledgeable on. So people who were in cosplay, who knew what the event needed to look like. We went to cons and did research on layout, exhibitors, artists, all the different kinds of things, and we grew it from there. So I think it's been really successful. It was great the first year with what we had, and staff have just taken the ball and run with it. And now it's just amazing and what it's morphed into.
And you're learning every year too about what other things you can do to.
Well, yeah, I think part of it is keeping up on trends too, right? So seeing what's popular, what they're doing at the bigger con events, continuing to stay in tune with what's happening at Sac Anime, what are the things that are popular still in our own backyard. We don't necessarily want to lose that small town feel of this event either. So trying to continue to also bring folks who have either a Northern California feel or even Solano County, whether that's authors, actors, guest speakers. So still trying to have that connection close to home.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations on your, you haven't been awarded yet. I guess you're officially awarded here at the end of the month at the conference, but congratulations. And that's not only great for the city, but it's on the tails of the award that the city received at the California League of Cities conference here just recently. So we're an award-winning city, I think is what we can say. So great. Any other questions? Great. Thank you. All right. All right. Next, we'll have business from the floor. This is the time to address the commission with issues that are not on tonight's agenda and are within the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. There's a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker. Does anyone wish to address the commission regarding a topic that's not on the agenda this evening? Seeing none, I will close business from the floor. We have no item eight is business, and we have none for tonight. So we'll move on to Committee reports. Commissioner Shea, a play for all committee.
So, you know, we're in that time of year where there's not a lot of updates because not a lot of things can be developed when it's pouring rain, right? So Ballpark and the Wall of Fame were out to bid as of the last meeting, which was almost a month ago. And the board is working on, was working on getting the word out to more bidders just so they can meet the state grant criteria for outreach. They're still in the conceptual phase for the misting drive-through feature that they want to partner with Chick-fil-A to get installed. They're still waiting on corporate approval for that. A local church will be performing a service project at the park to beautify and clean the park and the surrounding area. That's a good thing and a bad thing. The park is so popular that it's really hard to keep up with how many people use it. And I've seen it myself out at the park, and that's not to detract from anybody, you know, any maintenance crew or anything. It's just that popular and people are there from sunup to sundown, just heavily utilizing all of those pavilions. So there's been quite a few different organizations that have come to do cleanup projects like that. So those are always welcome. And then the Bowen Memorial Light that's being installed is in the design phase right now. They're looking at creative ways to find a light fixture and or kind of repurpose some things that may already exist to do a light. So they're working on that.
Thank you, Commissioner Shea. Any questions for Commissioner Shea? I think just it's interesting when you talk about the upkeep of the park. I think that's obviously a goal, but the top goal is to get the parks used and filled.
Right.
And so,
right. If, so it's working.
So it's working. So yeah, that's actually a good problem to have.
Right.
So great. Great. Thank you, Commissioner Shea. Moving on to the committee report 9B, Vacaville Arts Cultural, Vacaville Arts and Cultural Alliance. Commissioner Bruman.
As Kyle walks in, I don't really have anything to report, but our next meeting is March 11th at 1 o'clock at the Hyatt House. Okay. But other than that, unless Melanie has something to add to it?
I don't, just that upcoming meeting that you already mentioned.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Bruman. Next is a report on the Vacaville Performing Arts Theater Show Selection Committee. So we've just started to look at potential shows for the 2025-26 season. So we don't have anything new there, but we I understand that Lyle Lovett performed here recently, and I understand it was completely sold out. He played for about 2.5 hours, I'm told that we received a lot of compliments about the show and the quality of sound, and that's attributable a lot to the new speaker system that we installed there. So I'm glad to see that that's actually paying off. And then also we, just last weekend, we had the Why We Love Serial Killers with Dr. Scott Bond. And I'm told that the tickets were near sold out. 453 is my notes here. So that's again a great event. Kudos to Elizabeth for making that suggestion to the committee. I think that's really a stepping out of the box and coming up with shows that are unique to the venue. The one event I did want to highlight too that is coming up that I'm trying to get my wife to allow me to join me and get some tickets is the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, which is scheduled for Thursday, April 10th at 8 p.m. And so that's some some New Orleans jazz, and they look great. So, so that's what that's the update for the show selection committee. But I would encourage everyone and members of the community to really go to the Vacaville Performing Arts website and really take a look at all of the shows that they have scheduled for the upcoming few months. And it's even much more extensive beyond just the ones that I've reported out here today. And there is a spot where you can subscribe to their mailing list and you can get regular updates on what's going on. And so you don't have to actually always go to the website. They can come to you. And of course you can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And so you can be kept abreast of all the upcoming events. So that's what we got going on there. And again, I think the last thing I would report to, I've indicated before that the committee is always open to suggestions. So if you're at a party or you're at an event somewhere in the Bay Area and you see a show or you hear about a show, you know, bring it to the committee and we'll certainly do some research to see if we can bring them to that committee. All right. Any questions or comments? Wonderful. All right. So moving on to item 10, reports of the park planner, Nemo Gonzalez. Good evening, Nemo.
Good evening, Chair, Commissioners. I've just got some brief updates for you all on topics that we've discussed in the past. And again, I'm very visual, so I've prepared some slides for you. The first update is at Lagoon Valley Park, and we are officially open in terms of the dog park improvements. I went out there today and took some pictures, and I saw some dogs. I've got a picture later on. Furthermore, our Public Works Department was working on replacing a steel bridge across the dam. That's been completed, and it's available to access the loop around the lagoon. Additionally, there's some ongoing scout projects at Lagoon Valley Open Space, including an Eagle project by Mason Hoskins to provide several new trail markers. That's in the works. It'll happen sometime this month. There's a second scout trail repair project that was done earlier in the month, but there's some ongoing work that is diverting some of the runoff towards the pond. And Owl Park Open Space Construction has officially begun. So some of the grading work has already started up. And again, that's this area here. It's gonna be cohesive with the park portion. So the at the bottom of the plan there, you'll see the dog park that's officially already been open, completed. That middle phase is under construction. And then at some point in the future, the remainder of the park that's above the open space will occur. Got good news about Trower. The contractor bid was awarded at the last council meeting, and we've had our pre-construction meeting with the contractor, and he's going to be generating a construction schedule later in the month, and we anticipate that construction is going to begin sometime in either April or May, and they're scheduled to work on it for about 60 days, and then there's a maintenance period afterwards. My understanding is that not all of the park will be unavailable, only the portions of the park that are receiving improvements. So that's the area near the parking lot. So we'll put up some construction fencing, but folks will not have access to the areas of the park that are getting improvements. Additionally, and I don't know if Melody will discuss this, but we're gonna be issuing an RFP at some point in the future where the art component that was always slated to be part of the project will go out and we'll commission an artist to help us with that effort. Some of the improvements the bids for Alamo Creek Park improvements have been received. And we do have a low bidder that is meeting our original estimate that we put together. but the contract won't be awarded until the upcoming council meeting. So we anticipate that construction will start for this project around the same time frame as Trower Park. And some of the improvements that are occurring here are some decomposed granite repair that'll have some stabilizer to make sure that it's accessible. We're demolishing this sort of small little basketball court there, and we're replacing it with a full-size court. It's a reduced court, more like an elementary school size full court, but it's bigger than what's out there now. We're receiving some game tables, including ping pong, and the other thing that we're doing is we're replacing all of the site furnishings. A lot of them are older, and so everything will be replaced, all of the tables, all of the benches. That concludes my update for tonight. And this is my friend that I made out there, Callie. I had taken pictures, and nobody was at the dog park. And then as I'm pulling out away, I see this guy pulling in with the German Shepherd. And I had one for 15 years, so I pulled back in the parking lot and I took a picture of my Callie, gave her some pets.
Can you call it a dog park, a picture of a dog park if there's no dogs in the park?
Without a dog, right. Yeah, I'm here for any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you, Nemo. Any questions for Nemo? Great. Thank you, Nemo. Moving right along to item 8A, reports of the recreation manager.
Not to confuse everyone, good evening, commissioners. Elizabeth's going to be doing the slides for me this evening. And I saw a few looks like, what's happening? No, she's going to be running the PowerPoint, and that is because I'm going to be throwing to her for some slides at the end here this evening. So go ahead and hit the next one. All right, so first up, last Saturday we had our Recreation Expo. I know you all are familiar with this event. This is our annual registration fair that we host before the start of our summer camps. This year we did something a little bit new, both online and in person, starting at 8 a.m. That was a bit hit or miss. We had some great success in the line being much shorter. People weren't waiting for hours and hours on end, which has always been a big complaint, which is what we were trying to combat with this. Unfortunately, it did create some filling up of the camps very quickly, which was frustrating to those who were there in person. So we're reevaluating and kind of going back, going to do some, take in the feedback and kind of look at how we can make improvements for next year to kind of combat some of the challenges, but still keep some of the benefits as much as we can. So we did have 35 families utilize the payment plan that day. We took in $358,000 in revenue, and we have some full sessions in both Camp Splash and Camp Adobe. And I heard even this morning we were filling up in some of our Camp Kindness. So those camps are popular, and they're filling up, so folks will have their kids entertained this summer, engaged, and out there having fun instead of on screens. So that's always good. Next slide. We also hosted our summer staff hiring fair. This was something that we started a few years ago, as we were challenged with getting more staff kind of coming out of the pandemic. And this year was a huge success. We ended up hiring 31 folks, live scanned them right at the event. We had five that had already cleared for hire, and the numbers keep coming in. We were so popular, we had to unfortunately kind of schedule people outside of the fair because we just couldn't take them all in that day. We did group interviews, and so great problem to have. We're excited to have a great team this year going into summer. And then I just wanted to showcase a little bit. We had a highlight at our Cambridge TGIF. They did a career month. And this was really fun. They engaged a lot of the parents and some community members. You see here folks from Recology and from Travis Air Force Base talking with the kids about their professions. And so this was just a great, fun way to get kids excited about what their future could potentially hold and for the parents to get a little bit engaged with the after-school program that we have there. So it was really fun. Wanted to just take a moment to highlight and share the great time that was had by all. And next slide. And then we've got some new stage flooring at VPAT. As you know, Elizabeth is our liaison for VPAT, so I'm going to let her talk about this. I know this has been long awaited. Take it away, Elizabeth.
Oh gosh, we are so excited for this new flooring. If you take a look at the before and after pictures, we didn't even realize how bad the floor had gotten. So traditionally what has happened with the stage floor is that every year VPAT VPAT staff spend time and money on repainting it so that it's freshened up. This new floor is designed so that we won't have to do that. It's designed for durability and longevity, and it should last us a solid 10 years before we even have to think about doing anything with it. And so this was really a great investment for us because, as you guys know, VPAT is super busy. The stage is used in every single production, so there's a ton of wear and tear on it, and we really just needed something that was a little more modernized and durable to keep up with the pace at which we're running productions out of there. Okay, this is also me too. Okay, so one of the things that we wanted to kind of share out with you guys was just an update on the sportsmanship rating system that I think you've heard a lot about. It was a system that our youth sports program started last year, and it was kind of a pilot program to help kind of provide a reward system for participants and families and basically anyone involved in our sports programs to give them some incentive to focus more on positive behaviors than negative behaviors. So we started it last spring with our youth basketball program, and we've seen some success with it throughout the year. I will say that this picture right here, I think, is from our coaching seminar that we had last fall, which I think has really helped build the foundation for the sportsmanship rating system to be carried out. So basically what the system is after each, I'm going to call it a contest, but it's essentially a game. After each contest, the officials, the staff, and the opposing coaches all apply a rating between 1 and 5 for the teams that participated in the contest or game. 5 is the highest rating, 1 is the lowest rating. And the teams must maintain a rating of at least 4 and 5 to make the playoffs. So playoffs is the big incentive slash reward at the end of the season. And then out of the sportsmanship rating system, there comes additional kind of fun things like theme days, and we've had an All-Star Saturday. So trying to throw some additional incentives in there as well. The sportsmanship rating system is not without its checks and balances system. So when incidents happen, they are referred to the sports staff to do an investigation. We are really striving to provide fair and equitable results when we're doing these investigations. So they are pretty time consuming because a lot of times we do have to go talk to many people involved. We don't want to make arbitrary decisions, you know, based on one perspective. So the coordinator, the sports coordinator typically investigates and reviews and then assesses the situation. She talks to everybody who's involved. And then if need be, cases can be escalated to higher authority if necessary. And then if there is poor sportsmanship that happens and teams are receiving a rating, say between 3, 2, or 1, the penalties will range anywhere between warnings to ejections, depending on the severity of the situation, reoccurrence. Ideally, we're wanting people to kind of learn from their mistakes and not make those same ones again. And then also the response from the parties involved. So if we're conducting conversations with families or we're kind of having those course correction meetings with coaches, staff, families, parents, et cetera, how are they receiving the information? How are they digesting it? Are they willing to work ahead? Are they taking responsibility? Part of the sportsmanship rating system is about accountability, and it's taking the whole village to make sure that these kids are making it to their playoffs and getting their incentives. So in going into kind of what I was talking about with five being the highest and one being the lowest. Just some examples of what outstanding sportsmanship might look like. That's coaches and players and spectators participating within the established rules of the contest. No trash talking, no name calling, no foul language. Spectators are very encouraging and supportive of the teams equally, both their own and the opposing team, and then also refrain from coaching the athletes. We're really trying to encourage parents from sideline coaching. Let's leave the coaching to the coaches. And then, of course, game officials have and staff have zero problems or issues with parent participation. So that's ideally what a five would look like. A four would be coaches, players, and spectators participating with expected sportsmanship, but may occasionally voicing concerns or challenging officials on calls. Sportsmanship and understanding of the rules are at an acceptable level, but could be improved. And then maybe the game officials are having minor issues. So kind of having to course correct parents or remind them, hey, you know, we're here, et cetera, et cetera. Level three would be where coaches, players, and spectators are participating without any incident, but could still be displaying some poor sportsmanship. So that might be like samples of the sideline coaching, or you might hear some kind of negative feedback if there's an occurrence, you know, between two players on the field or the court. Spectators really have an influence over the team's ratings. So this is also where we see sometimes where the sidelining can come in and have an impact. And then game officials and staff may have repeated issues. This would warrant possibly giving a three. And then an example is when if someone receives a technical foul during a game, that would result in a three. A level two would be that there is a consistent display of poor sportsmanship, even after being provided warnings by the officials and staff. Spectators who may have influenced their team's sportsmanship, maybe some egging on or, you know, not checking comments and behavior. And then if someone receives two technical fouls in a game, which is hard to believe at the, you know, the littles level, but it does happen. And then a forfeit, if a team forfeits, it also warrants a 2.0 sportsmanship rating. So that's just not even showing up. And then finally a one, which ideally I don't think we have hardly any ones, but coaches and players and spectators are ejected. So this would be in a pretty egregious incident that may have happened on the court or the field. And this would typically happen, I want to say, probably at the parent or the coach level, not necessarily at the player level. And then there's also a display of consistent poor sportsmanship throughout the contest. So that just gives you an idea of kind of the rating ladder for how staff and officials are kind of contributing to these ratings. So over the course of the year, we've learned quite a bit in terms of what's worked and what hasn't, and it is still a fluid system that we're working to fine tune. And so some of the pros, our overall culture in sports has improved. I will say we have definitely seen it's really cool to go to the courts or the fields and see kind of this united effort for teams to display great behavior for both towards their own team members, but also towards the other team. And that's not something you often see. And then parents really, you know, are out there clapping for everybody who's out on the teams, regardless of which side they're on. It does encourage accountability for everyone, so we really appreciate that that's a factor in the system, because it really does, again, take the village. We've introduced, like I mentioned, innovative elements like the All-Star Saturday theme days and then the idea of playoffs. It does promote teamwork that includes the parents, and so we're appreciative of that. And then it also has actually inspired other local leagues to start implementing some of the similar components. So I was just actually at a meeting earlier today where one of our leagues was mentioning that they're putting in kind of a point system that's they kind of have modified from our idea. So it's pretty cool to see it catching on. I think there might be something there. Some of the cons, the investigations are time consuming. We do want to pay a fair amount of effort to ensuring that we're making the right decision when, you know, it comes to down to if we're having to eject someone or they're not making playoffs. And so we want to make sure that that process is done thoroughly. We are looking also too at even tweaking the process. We've had conversations with Director Mulder about maybe doing it by committee rather than by staff person. That obviously would have its pros and cons too. There's still a lot more to flesh out there, but you know, trying to figure out how to be the most efficient with our resources. And then one of the cons is of parents' behavior now impacts the team's ratings. So where that's also a pro for us, it's also a con too, because if you're looking at it and you have parents who aren't necessarily acting on their best behavior, that does now influence whether their child's team may or may not make playoffs. And that can, you know, there's a philosophical discussion there of, you know, do you punish the kids for the parents' behavior? And we don't necessarily look at it like that. We look at it as more as influential factors. The ratings that we have, it's all about having conversations with people and providing course correction. So we're very open to, you know, it's not that hard line of like, oh, you did this one time and you're ejected. So we really want everyone to be able to learn and build and grow from this, not just the kids. And so then also too, what we found is our officials are under a microscope. So they're the ones who are, you know, out there on the courts. They're the ones who are making calls. We found if they miss something, parents are very quick to contact us and let us know. And in these days, in day and age when everyone has a cell phone, there's 15 different recordings of one game. So we have to review all of that. And so there are, you know, they're human too. So we're trying to kind of alleviate some of that pressure that we've seen that's been put on our human capital in terms of staff and officials, and kind of trying to flatten that out. So those are some of the pros and cons. And then I think that's my last slide. Yes, but I did want to also share with you too that we have gotten some really good feedback. In terms of just recently a parent who we finished our winter basketball season, which is our biggest season. And we had a parent volunteer reach out and just let us know some of the really positive things that they enjoyed about the season. And I'm just really proud of staff for being able to take the lumps with the successes as well. So this person who reached out to us said that they really appreciated the positive changes we put into the rec programs over the last few years, focusing on sportsmanship, offering coaching clinics, holding adults and teams accountable for their conduct and misconduct, and promoting positivity above winning. They wrote, "I know you often receive emails of complaints, and I hope you know that all of your hard work and that of your team do not go unnoticed. All-Star Saturday this last season was a blast." And then they go on to kind of talk about some different things, but thanking us for inspiring them to think outside of the box. And it's an honor to serve in my teeny tiny role with your program when given the chance, and I truly love working with you. So we kind of appreciate those warm and fuzzies when we get them. So I wanted to end on that note. So I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Commissioners, have any questions for Elizabeth? Start with Vice Chair Gutierrez.
Hi, thank you for that. Curious, is there like a three strikes and you're out situation, or how, you know, if someone does find themselves in that one, two, or three rating, just because it's new and maybe kind of, you know, teaching parents or whatever the infraction may be, is there a situation where they can kind of get themselves out of that, or is there a situation where if they spiral too far down the drain, then it's done?
Yeah, I think that when we take a look at the situations that come across our desk in terms of, you know, an investigation, we take into consideration, has this parent been involved in our programs before? Has
have we had prior incidents with them? Are there other complaints that we've received about them? If it's something that seems to be more of a one-off, then we're probably just gonna say, hey, listen, this is unacceptable, don't do it again. In terms of repeat offenders, depending on, again, how egregious it is, we may consider a suspension of some kind, maybe taking a season or two off, because what we found is that, you know, one person can really have a lot of influence over the culture and the tone of a game, and we're trying to promote something super positive here. So I think that it can be subjective in terms of just deliberating about what the factors are that are playing into the decisions. Yeah.
Commissioner Shea.
It's funny that you kind of started to touch on it too. My question was about social media. Like, is the rating system only used game day, like at games? Or would, impact scores based on things that might happen outside? Because we all know, whether we agree with it or not, and whether it's healthy or not, social media and the internet and groups are all a part of our life now. And I've seen that it can poison a league, right? We're involved in football, it's not city, but, you know, a negative parent going around in groups or chats and running down coaches or the league can be a real problem. Do you guys consider that in the rating system too?
So that has not been a factor for us per se. What we're really trying to focus on is what's happening on the fields and on the courts during the games. We just don't, you know, have a lot of control over what's happening outside. And so, you know, with free speech, parents can go on social media and it can be our friend and it can be our worst enemy. So we kind of have to take that as it comes.
I have a couple questions. Now, how, just to clarify, how are you using the ranking? So you have a game and they get a ranking for every game?
Yes.
And then mm-hmm. is there a website, or so if I'm a parent or I'm a player or a coach, can I go somewhere to see where my current sportsmanship ranking rating is? And
so I don't believe that we currently have the team rankings listed on our website.
Or just how is that shared? How do I know
through staff at the games. So for example, I believe the information is shared at each game where the teams are, where their standings are at from the previous games. And so then parents can also check in with the office too, to see where they're at. There's a lot of communication that happens between our sports staff and the officials and the staff on site and the families. So there's a lot of back and forth happening. It's not kept a secret.
it's sportsmanship now became a game where they're trying to get the best ratings possible.
Well, so, and it's not a contest to necessarily get the best rating. It's just they want to try and maintain a 4 or a 5 in order to make playoffs. So that's the goal.
Okay. And then my other question, as we were talking, and I know we've talked about this before, and but I can't recall, was this program, Did we innovate this, or was it borrowed, or is it from another park district or department?
So this is actually the brainchild of Vicki Williams-Jones, our sports coordinator.
Right.
She was new to the sports position after Jen got promoted a few years ago, and just having gone through the cycle of sports programs, you kind of see the same issues reoccurring, which is just the nature of the beast, and then trying to figure out how do we combat that? How do we flip the switch on that? Or flip the script, excuse me. And so coming up with this system. So, you know, it was... She presented it and we kind of had to vet it out, flesh it out, talk about it. We talked about it at several management meetings. You know, you talk about what does that look like? How is that going to affect the programs? All of the things. And then we thought, well, let's put it into play and see what happens. The world didn't end, and we had improved culture. So it's been different for each sport that we've used it in. So we had fall baseball last year, and it's a different demographic, and so and it's a different program setup. So you know, we had to kind of figure out how to make it work for fall baseball versus, you know, basketball. And basketball for us happens year round. We run it almost, you know, every season. So there's a lot more opportunity there to kind of, you know, it's not like a rinse, wash, rinse, repeat kind of thing. But our program structure for basketball happens over and over, so that we are able to fine tune it a lot quicker. Fall baseball happens once a year. So we'll start planning for that and look at last year and go, okay, what worked, what didn't work? How do we tweak the rating system so that it's more efficient and more effective this year?
Great. Well, thank you to Vicki for bringing up the idea, and great job of staff to be innovative and try to work through it. And hopefully in next year's CPRS conference, we'll be awarded. We might be up for another award. So,
I know, right? That would be amazing.
We're going to have to start setting every year, every other year, getting awards.
Okay, calm down, Chair Oz. No, thank you very much.
Great. So any other questions for Elizabeth? And I also want to give Melody an opportunity. Any questions for Melody on her program updates? I do, thank you. Do want to recognize that Commissioner Frazier has arrived for the record. Great. All right, moving on to Item 12A, Director Mueller will provide us an update from the department.
Mueller. All right, good evening once again, commissioners. I have a few updates this time. So I wanna start out by talking a little bit about some of the events that have recently occurred that for the first time I've had an experience of seeing for the first time. So we did have a little presentation at our Recreation Expo. For me, this was my first kind of event of seeing our department and our entire team, recreation team, come together and provide an event. So I just want to provide some feedback from my perspective of a first event that I was involved with. And I want to say it was really fun. It was really exciting to be. I was one of the greeters when our residents were coming in. And we'd give them a little swag bag, and we'd welcome them into the community center. And it was just amazing, the enthusiasm from the residents. You could tell a lot of them are residents that are coming back year after year and really excited about our summer programming. I had the opportunity of speaking with a lot of our contract instructors that provide programming as well. Which was exciting for me to learn a little bit more of that information. So just a wonderful event. And for me, one of the greatest thing was is just seeing our team in action, the support that they give one another coming in and coming together after the event's over, the cleanup, all of that. Just it was a lot of fun. So it was just great to be a part of it. Another event that was mentioned at our last commission meeting but had not occurred yet was our girls and women in sports event, which was on March 8th, and that was also an event that I was able to attend, and that was again a fantastic event, very inspiring. I had wished that my little six-year-old daughter could have been there to participate as well. So I just want to commend staff. The panel was just incredibly positive and incredible event for that. And then today we had I was able to go to the State of the City. That was an event that was put on by our chamber and at the Vacaville Opera House. And this particular event was our city manager, Aaron Bush, and Mayor John Carley given a report on the previous year of the city and our strategic plan and all of our city services. So that was a great event. I think it'll be on YouTube. At least it was in previous years, so it's worth checking out and learning more about kind of the bigger picture of the city. Some of the topics talked about strategic planning. It did talk a little bit about that in this next coming year. We do have a budget deficit, and we will all, as the city, have to tighten our belts a little bit. So there was a little bit of conversation about the challenges in the short term. But then also, especially Mayor Carley talked about optimism towards the future with some of the amazing things that are happening in Vacaville with biotech and some of the development occurring. So it really was an optimistic report in looking towards the future and what is coming to Vacaville. So that was exciting. Some other things, personnel related. So we have a new management analyst. His name is Scott Wagner, and he will be starting on Monday. So we're really excited to bring on a new management analyst. He comes from the private sector and has a background in tech. So it'll be really interesting to see that perspective come to our department as well. And I do want to give a shout out to Tracy, because she has been really carrying us through the last several months without a management analyst, and tirelessly working to keep us on task. And so thank you, Tracy, for everything you've done. It's going much appreciated. Couple other things. At our last meeting, we had our Phoenix Rising project that will be going at our next city council for consideration. But I did want to mention we had quite a bit of discussion about the honorarium. So we have internally talked through that. We plan to bring that back through the Arts Committee in the context of the Art and Cultural Master Plan that we are bringing forward. We think that that's a good opportunity to have those discussions, and that Art Cultural Master Plan will be coming back to the Park and Rec Commission, I think in late spring, early summer. So we will have those discussions through there and bring that back as well. So just so you know that. The commission application process, I wanted to touch on that for a moment. So there has been some discussion at the city council level regarding the application and the appointment process. And so the application process has actually been extended through March 10th for any new planning commissioners or park and recreation commissioners that apply. And at our next city council meeting, actually, it was on the February 25th meeting for on the agenda to have the city council review the appointment process. However, it was after midnight and the item still hadn't come forward, so that item got tabled. But it is on the agenda for the next city council meeting. Also, at the last meeting, I mentioned that I wanted to meet with all of you. If you had the opportunity. So I have been able to meet with some of you, and I really want to thank you for the time. It's just a great opportunity, just a quick meet and greet, and interested in kind of your perspective and in insight moving forward. So thank you to those who I've met with, and look forward to meeting with the other commissioners as well. I wanted to touch on the California Park and Rec Society. So yes, we did touch on it earlier. The conference is going to be March 18th through the 21st in Sacramento. You do have our latest magazine. And I will just give a little shout out to the city of Vacaville on page 16 under the spotlight. After I took the position here, Joanna Leal reached out to me and said, oh, we're presenting your information to the CPRS to see if they'll put it in the magazine. So sure enough, on page 69, I think it is, there's a little spotlight as myself as the new director. So I'm really excited to be representing Vacaville. So I think with that, that's the items that I had to report.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Director Mulder? Great. Thank you. All right. So moving on to item 13A, appointment of a commissioner for the to serve as the cosplay judge for VacaCon 2025. Director Mulder, would you like to introduce this item? Or?
Yes, I can. So this is regarding appointing a commissioner to serve as a judge for the VacaCon for 2025. And I don't, do we have a staff report that goes with that or?
No.
Okay.
All right.
You guys can fight over who wants to do it.
I'm looking, Commissioner Shea.
I was just wondering, I got to do it last year and it was very fun. It was kind of co-managed or facilitated by a contract company. I can't remember the name. Are they doing it again this year? Is it similar format? So it just to let the other commissioners know, if you want the opportunity, it's very well laid out. They give you the cards, you're just marking everything down, but it's really exciting to see the passion that these people put into their costumes. And I mean, some of them aren't even costumes, they're installations. They're like feats of engineering. And it's just phenomenal to see that like in person, right? And have them in Vacaville, like they put hundreds and hundreds of hours. So just wanted to throw that out there because it's easy. They hold your hand all the way through.
Great. Vice Chair Gutierrez.
I will be out of town that day, so you guys can fight it out. I this is absolutely one of the events that I'd love to participate in. I haven't yet, but unfortunately, I will be in LA that weekend.
Do we have the time commitment? Yes, that's a good question. What's the time commitment? It's April 12th, which is a Saturday.
And it is about a 2 to 3 hour commitment.
Morning,
evening? In the afternoon. So it would be approximately, I'd say maybe noon to three.
I have time to do it. Nobody else wants to
do it. I was interested in attending the event so I could also judge as well. So,
Commissioner Frazier. I have a coach, so I coach that day. So okay. I won't be able to make it. Yeah.
So,
swim.
So, Commissioner Bruman, are you nominating yourself or?
Yes, I am.
All right. So is there a motion to appoint Commissioner Bruman as the cosplay judge for VacaCon?
I'll motion. If he dresses up too.
Oh.
Well, it's not conditional.
I will certainly second that. So all those in favor of cosplay judge Commissioner Bruman, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations. I'm going to try to attend as well. So
awesome.
I will supervise your judge.
Are you dressing up?
Yeah.
I have to judge you.
Yeah. I know how to judge dogs at Halloween. Yep. I got that down. I'm going to probably need some to watch your experience first. So. Great. Moving on to reports of the commissioners. Commissioner McMahon, would you like to start us off tonight?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. This is probably my last, well, I think it is my last meeting. So I was appointed in 2017. I've had the honor and privilege of sitting here for 8 years. So I think it is time to be fair and to let somebody else sit at this seat. Over those 8 years, I've been appointed by three different mayors, and I have sat here next to four different directors now. So it has been a great 8 years, and I'm extremely proud of the work that we've done here and the people and the friendships that I've made along the way. Some of my most proud accomplishments here are, of course, our Parks and Rec Master Plan a few years ago. I'm just honored to have my name on that, and I believe that goes into 2035. So that's a great privilege and an honor, and I'm really proud of that. That took a lot of work, and the staff was just incredible, as always. So that was really rewarding. And one of the things I'm probably most proud of over the last 8 years, it happened during COVID. And I remember sitting at the McBride Senior Center with Elizabeth and Mel. And we were spread out around a big table, and we had masks on. And we had an issue, and it was had to do with our vulnerable population, our seniors, and getting them groceries and getting them food. As we know, COVID was just, the unknown was scary to a lot of us, and especially them. So we came up with a plan, and it was really cool because we included our local restaurants. We put money back into those restaurants, which kept them, they survived off of us. And I still to this day, people, restaurant owners will come to me and say, hey, we are here because you guys did that. You kept us open during COVID. So I think the community donated nearly $90,000. I think we delivered close to 10,000 meals over that period. So Elizabeth, Mel, Kristen, and at the time, Audrey, thank you so much. That was truly rewarding, and it's the one thing I'm really most proud of that I've been able to serve on this commission. The most fun I've ever had on this commission happens around Christmas time over the last 2 years. So I was able to be a part of that, and I'm available next Christmas if needed. So it is, it's truly magical, and it just warms my heart. And my daughters were both part of it both years. So it was really special. And I'm just thank you so much for that opportunity. It was really incredible. So I appreciate it. To my fellow commissioners and our future commissioners, I would just say this, please stay true to the oath that you take. This dais is not a platform for personal agendas. It is for city business. Whatever's on the agenda, please stick with that. I would challenge each one of you to challenge each other. This is not for personal agendas. Just stick with the city business and the oath that you took is what I would challenge you to do. Also, I was appointed when we were at large, went to districts. I have seen the change. I still feel, even though we sit across districts and there's a district labeled to our name, we still serve the city as a whole. And I think sometimes we fail to realize that, but I just please remember that when you are sitting here and deliberating and, every park, regardless of where it is located in this city, is important to someone. Every park is equally important. So over the years, I have seen some areas of our town get more attention, but again, every park is important to every family in the city. So please be cautious of that or conscious of that and serve the city as a whole. And again, I admire every one of you that sit here and past and present. Anybody that serves, I really admire. This is not always easy. This is sometimes fun, sometimes it's not fun. Quick story, I remember coming in, I was very young at this, or new at this, and boy, I came in, I was like, man, it's full, this is awesome. Well, I quickly realized This room is not full because people are happy. They come because people are not happy. So I quickly realized that, and that's when we decided that we were going to close the pool. We had people with signs and just telling us everything that we were not doing right. So, again, it is a privilege and an honor to sit here. I am truly thankful for it. And I will miss you guys. I will tune in, and I hope that we can grab a cup of coffee someday. Thank you to the staff. You guys continue to amaze me every single month, year, week. It's incredible. The things you do, you are here all day, and here we are, and I'm still talking, and I know you're ready to go home, but thank you to all of you. It's been truly an honor, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner McMahon. Commissioner Shea?
Congratulations and farewell to Commissioner McMahon. Bittersweet, I guess. And I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I'm sure they would still love for you to come dress up at different events, even if you're not on the commission. I like volunteering other people to dress up, I guess tonight. I just wanted to thank everybody for the presentations. I know that you guys are going... Maybe not. You guys are going into busy season. It was warm a couple days last week, right? But I also, having served on the commission, see that it's pretty much all your busy season. There's no downtime. You guys are doing all holiday events, warm weather stuff. So I know, though, that spring is slammed. So we appreciate all the work you do. You guys are killing it all the time. And here's to a successful spring season for all of the different programs that you guys put on.
Thank you, Commissioner Shea. Commissioner Frazier.
So, Commissioner McMahon, thank you for your service. 8 years, that's pretty neat. And I remember, interesting, one of the first government things I attended was that night with the pool. So,
you had one of those signs.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a sign, but I did come up and talk. And so... but anyway, I appreciated all the help then. I appreciated your help and everything you've done since then, so thanks. I do want to share two things. I was able to hear from somebody, people about the girls in sports and the women in sports, and they said it was great. I mean, the comments I heard, I knew two people that attended. They just said it was a really good event. And so I heard super positive feedback from that. And then the expo, so I was there kind of representing adult swim lessons, and so I got to see you all there and stuff. And so, again, it was a terrific event. When I got there about a quarter to eight, when it started at eight, there was this line of the, ready of people to walk in. So, and it was decorated. It was great on the inside, and so it was a really nice event. So thanks for setting that up, and thanks for, again, the things that you guys do. So, and it was nice meeting you today, Bruce.
Thank you, Commissioner Frazier. Commissioner Bruman.
Commissioner McMahon, it's been an honor being on the dais with you. I think I've been here 5 years. I can't lost count, but we've done a lot of things together, but I'm sure we'll see you downtown somewhere and enjoy yourselves. But thank you. Again, to staff, I commend the staff that continue, and they just continue to grow, adapt, make whatever you make happen. You guys are doing a great job. I've been hearing nothing but good stuff about the recreational stuff too. And I know spring is coming up. And I think that grading system's an awesome thing because it keeps the parents in line because it makes them accountable to teach their kids how to act. But being a coach, I used to get yelled at a lot. So, I understand completely. My boy ain't playing, why not? He never shows up to practice. Well, anyways, that's a whole nother thing. But continue the great work, and thank you.
Thank you. And Vice Chair Gutierrez.
Again, thank you, Commissioner McMahon, for your service. I was working downtown, and I remember you with the meals and elderly, and that was a trying time for everyone, but that was a very bright spot in that trying time. Also, when I was considering joining this commission, I met with you at Pure Grain, and I appreciate all the information that you gave me and how welcoming you were and your leadership while you were here as well. And it will definitely be missed. So thank you for your service. I had a great time meeting with Bruce recently and learning about him and his past and his passion for parks, and not only local parks, but national parks. It was amazing to hear about his journey from the Midwest to here. And again, I'm happy to have you here and really enjoyed learning more about you. What else did I want to talk about? I also heard a lot of great feedback about the Women in Sports event. I am so upset that I was not able to make that, but I continue to hear good things about that, and not just about the event, but the people who spoke and the kids who were encouraged about what they heard there. So that's amazing. I mean, you guys keep bringing new and different, you know, things to the community, and it's so, so needed and appreciated. And you guys are so creative with the just different layers that you continue to bring to us. So thank you. Quick reminder, Loop the Lagoon is happening April 27th. So I know the city will be out there. I will be out there as well. Hopefully it will be not raining that day, but it's a great day where the entire community, not entire, but a good chunk of the community comes out and enjoys the park. So definitely looking forward to that and hope to see you guys out there.
And I also had an opportunity to sit down and talk with Director Mulder. Appreciate the time, and it was good to get to know you and just talk about Vacaville and parks and recreation and the great things that we're doing. And I left that meeting feeling even more comfortable that we're really in the department's in good hands with your leadership. So we really look forward to working with you. I also just really quickly wanted to give a shout out to Commissioner Vasquez, who is home under the weather, and I hope that she gets better. But lastly, just Commissioner McMahon, I just wanted to. I appreciate your service. It's been an honor serving with you. Your list of accomplishments that you just sort of read through just touches the surface of some of the things that, because I think for those that have served with you, know your contribution to this commission over the years has been significant. During all the presentations and information items and parks that come before us as we're designing them, you really have an eye for the right questions and the right direction of this commission. And so that will certainly be missed, and we'll try to carry that on as we go forward. And it's always apparent that you're very engaged with the community as well. You're always very tapped in. So we know that you might be stepping down from this commission, but I'm pretty confident you'll still be a very active member of this community going forward. So again, thank you for your service. With that being that there's no further business, I'll adjourn to the next regular meeting on Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025 at 6 p.m. Thank you, everyone, and good night, Vacaville.